Well, good morning again. It's nice to be with you and to share something of my own experience and something from the Word of God as well. Let's just pause for a moment till we pray. Can you hear the mic okay? Can you sound fine? Are we okay? Yeah. Father, we come into thy presence again this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank thee for thy goodness to us today. We thank thee for being here at Faith and to share the scripture and a bit about my own personal experience in salvation. And so, Father, help us now as we seek to present the word in simplicity and clarity and conviction that these things are real in our experience, and we have to know the saving grace of God if we're going to be in heaven and if we're going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so help us now then, Father, we pray, and take our thanks for thy goodness to us in the Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Just to start what I'm going to say, I want to read one verse in First Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, in verse 12. And it's, just for the sake of the context, it's what the Old Testament prophets experienced. And Peter's writing about that. And maybe we'll pick it up at verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. This is the men of the Old Testament, Isaiah and so on. When they wrote the things that were given to them, they didn't understand them. In verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And here's my verse. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And we know who's writing this. It's Peter that's writing this. That's the first thing I'd like to say, that Peter, and remember one of the incidents in his life was that he was the man on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit descended. He was the man that stood up and preached the gospel. He preached the gospel. And now he's writing to the Christians in five Roman provinces, and he's telling them, he says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you. You are now the audience that hears these things, which are now reported unto them, unto you, by them that have preached the gospel unto you. So he's writing to Christians who were saved by the preaching of the gospel. And it wasn't a naked gospel, if I can put it that way. Them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. So the men that, the preachers that Peter is speaking about, who preached to the and saw the people saved, they preached the gospel. But they also, the message was also accompanied, that they preached, by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. They preached the gospel unto you by the Spirit which was sent down from heaven. The Spirit was sent down on the day of Pentecost, and that's when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. One sermon, 3,000 souls were saved. Why was that? Why was there such a great ingathering of souls? It was because the message was accompanied by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the thought that I wanted to share, that just by way of introduction, that if you're going to get saved, if you're not saved yet, it's the Word of God and the presence of the Spirit of God doing a ministry to bring you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so that's what I just wanted to share by way of opening. Now, the text that I'm going to speak on today is John 3:16. And you can't get any more gospel than that. But before I do that, I want to give you my own personal experience of salvation. Let me read John 3:16 just for a basis to start from. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the Lord will bless the reading of 1 Peter and John 3:16 to your hearts today, I'm sure. As you can tell by my accent, I'm not from these parts. I'm from originally from Scotland, and I came over here when I was 22 years old, and my wife came over. She followed me over. She was single, and we both knew each other. We were engaged to be married in Scotland, and we were married here. But I want to go further back than that. I want to go back to the life of my dad and mother. And my father was a farmer. He wasn't really a farmer. He was a farmer's helper. That's what he was. They knew nothing about salvation or Christianity. They knew nothing about it. And they lived in a little place in the county of Fife, away up in the north-east section, round about a town called Ladybank. And my father worked on a farm. And there was a man came to the village where they lived. And his name was Willie Duncan. He was from a place called Tullycootry. And he came there for one reason. He came there to preach the gospel. That's why he came to that county where my parents lived, and there was no preacher there. So this Mr. Willie Duncan came from a place called Tullycootry. And there's you won't be able to spell that one. But he came there, and he stayed for 6 months. And my father got saved. And my mother got saved. And interestingly enough, the people, the men that lived in that community, they all knew each other, just Jim or John or Joe or Harry. They all knew, but a lot of them got saved as well. And so salvation came. And I'm sure, thinking of the evidences that were there, the Holy Spirit of God was operating amongst them, and my father and mother got saved, and they got baptized as well, because Willie Duncan stayed on, and he taught that these people who had become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Willie Duncan went on to preach to them other things, and we'll get into that for a minute. But and it's interesting that he preached about baptism, believers' baptism. And the reason why he could preach on believers' baptism is because these people in Ladybank now were believers. They weren't believers before, so he never spoke about baptism. He spoke about salvation and the gospel. That's what he spoke about, because that's what they needed. That was the primary thing in their life that was lacking. And he preached that. And the Lord blessed his word. through the salvation of souls. And so they went on then to teach them baptism, believers' baptism, baptism by immersion. And if you're here today, if you're a believer and you're not baptized, you need to get baptized. That's the first, we were taught that that's the first step in the pilgrim pathway, is if you're saved, you'll be baptized as well. And so Wally Duncan taught them that, taught them baptism. And then he went on to teach them what we call local assembly truth. And he taught them that. And the people were gathered together then. They said, we want that. And they gathered together, so they were now saved. They were baptized. And they were added to a local assembly. And there's such a thing that is in the scripture, is the first love that believers have when they come to know the Lord. We who have known the salvation of the Lord, we remember, we can look back on that, on the days of our first love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a happy time, a joyful time. And we did that. So here's where my, going back to my father now. He was working on the farm, and the farmer said to him, Jim, we're going to have to work. This was on a Friday. We're going to have to work this coming Sunday and for a few Sundays after it, and because there's something that we have to do. And my dad said, oh, we'll call him Farmer Brown. Farmer Brown, I can't do that. I can't do that. You see, I belong to that local fellowship of believers that was planted. And it's our joy and delight. And we're also commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to remember him in the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup, just like what we did this morning. My father wasn't going to give that up for anything. It was his first love. It was a thing that he looked forward to all week, to be with the believers, to remember the Lord. But he said this to the farmer, and because the farm, and he had a house, from the job was in the farm, the house that he lived in was from the farmer as well. And he said, well, the farmer said, well, Jim, you know what this means. If you can't do that, then you'll just have to give up your job. And of course, if he was going to give up his job, he was giving up the house as well. And he said this to the farmer. He said, well, let me go. I'll be home for lunch, because the farmhouse was just on the farm. I'll go home for lunch, and I'll ask Mary about it and see what she thinks, and then I'll get back to you in the afternoon. So he did that. He went home and spoke to my mother. And by the way, they had five children as well at that time. I wasn't one of them. But there was a house at stake, a job at stake, and the feeding of five children was at stake as well. And my mother said to my dad, just you go over this afternoon, and you tell Farmer Brown that we're going to remember the Lord on Sunday. So the die was cast. And that was that. And it was a Friday. And the meeting would be on, and he was dismissed from his job. And he went to the meeting on Sunday. He didn't tell anybody what had happened. And you know, by Monday, he had a better job. He had a better pay. He had a better house. And you say, well, that's a remarkable story. But, you know, folks, that's how our parents lived. They lived on a simple, trusting faith. in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is no man's debtor. My father and mother were prepared to give that up, to give up everything, because of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ, that they wanted to remember him because the Lord had asked them to do that. And they did that. And the Lord is no man's debtor. The Lord says, them that honor me, I will honor. I will honor. So that was the start of our family. There was five of them, and there was another six after that in the house that someone had given to them, and just to live in. It was rent-free as well. But Dad said to the man who gave him the house, oh, brother so-and-so, I can't afford to pay that. He said, Jim, I don't want any money from you. Just go and live in the house and look after it for me. So the whole thing just worked its way out. Then my father moved from the Ladybank area. And by the way, that work, it probably was over 100 years ago. And that assembly is still going yet, that local assembly of believers. And there's young people in it as well. And so praise the Lord that for what the Lord can do. The Lord is real. The Lord is, the Bible speaks about the Lord as a living God with all power and authority. So we've been moved then to a place called Lahore. And there was an assembly there. And so my father and mother were received into the assembly. And, you know, I can remember one thing that my mother said once. You know, the old people used to speak and the young people used to listen. They never knew that the young people were listening, but they were listening. And I remember my mother saying to one of her visitors, you know, the best times of fellowship that we ever had was when we were drinking our tea out of jam jars. They couldn't even afford cups. They'd jam jar, but it was the best fellowship that they ever had because it was real and living and joyful. There was a sharing among the community. And so we moved to Lahore, and my father and mother were received into the assembly there at Bethany Hall. And and I went to the Sunday school, and as my brothers and sisters did as well. And in the county where we lived, there was probably close to 30 assemblies there. Every village, there was an assembly. And the elders from the various assemblies got together and spoke about the young people. And they had Sunday school. And then once you became a certain age, once you became a teenager, they had a Bible class for the young people. And it didn't conflict with any other meetings. It was a separate time. It didn't drain away all the young people from the teaching meetings or the gospel meetings. They did it at a separate hour for to teach us the Word of God. And so these men got together and they said, what we need to do is we need to have a 2-week special time, and we'll take all the young people from all the assemblies in the county of Fife. We'll take them and bring them together, and we'll have 2 weeks with them in the gospel. And so what you could do in those days, there was every village in Scotland, and this was thanks to John Knox, the great reformer of Scotland. He said that we're going to have a school in every village. And so what the brethren did in their wisdom, they had a camp. They called it a camp, but it was in a school. The school was empty, but the school had classrooms, which they turned into bedrooms, and they had an auditorium for preaching, which was used by the preacher. And then they had kitchens for to make the school dinners, and the elders availed themselves of the kitchens to make the school dinners and so on. So I went with the others from our assembly and all the assemblies in Fife. I've got pictures at home of over 100 young people in attendance at a Bible class camp. And so we were all there and we heard the gospel. They had a gospel preacher who was a converted boxer. In his younger days, he was a pugilist, a boxer. And he got saved and he became a preacher of the gospel. So they had him along. And he preached the gospel every night to us for 2 weeks. And it was during that time, when I heard the gospel, that I got saved. I heard them preach, and the last night of his message, it was at that point that I came face to face with Jesus Christ. Dennis Burns was his name. And he was preaching, and he was closing in prayer, and he said something like this: if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be lost forever and ever and ever. And every time he said that, forever, it just hit me. And ever, again, it hit me. And again he said it, and it hit me. And you know, I don't think in my life's experience I've ever shook as much as I did that night. You see, I was under the conviction of sin. I was under the conviction of sin. And that's what made me tremble. The Holy Spirit took the message and applied it to my life and conscience. And I had a friend who was sitting beside me at that time in that meeting, Charlie. And Charlie said to me, Miller, if you're going to get saved, he says, if you're going to get saved, Miller, why don't you do it tonight, the last night of the camp? And I said, Charlie, I'm just going to do that. I've made up my mind. I'm going to get saved tonight. Now, in that auditorium that night, there was probably 150 or 200 people there. And I was a shy boy. I was only 16 years old. But, you know, well, there was all those people there. I felt I was the only one that was there. I was oblivious to everyone else that was in the hall. And I just walked up to the front. I don't know why I walked up to the front. There was no invitation given to come to the front. I just walked up to the front. And one of the elder brethren took me, and we just sat down at a table or a desk or whatever, and he read a scripture to me. And it's a scripture that it's my favorite verse in the Bible. It's John 5. And 24, and his name is John Rollo, the man that read me the text. He was a school teacher, very intelligent man, and he was a principal of a big school in Kirkcaldy. And John 5 and 24 says this: He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has, as a present possession, has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment or condemnation, but is passed from death into life. And that's what I did. I believed that message that night. I didn't know much about the Bible. I didn't know much about the Bible. But I knew, I had the conviction and the assurance that I was saved that night. saved by hearing the gospel and being pointed the way of salvation through a brother, pointed me to the Lord Jesus Christ as the only remedy for sin and for sinners, and I was saved. Did you get that point? John 5 and 24, I've got it here. Verily, verily, I want to read this again because I want you to get it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. How did I get everlasting life? I heard the word, and I believed it, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's what salvation is. Salvation isn't a funny feeling or saying a sinner's prayer. It's none of that. It's coming to face in a spiritual way with Jesus Christ. And you trust him. You receive Jesus Christ, John 1 and 12. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's salvation. Remember when Paul and Silas were in the jail in Acts 16? And the jailer was terrified because he thought the prisoners had all run away. Paul said, we're all here. And it says this, that the jailer trembled, just like Miller Thompson trembled when I was at the Bible class camp. The jailer trembled, and he kneeled down. The jailer kneeled down, and he said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's it. And that's what I did. And that's why today, so many years later, I'm still in the good, in the enjoyment of salvation. Once you get it, you'll never lose it. But you've got to get it. You've got to get it. And so, I'm asking you today, have you got it? Or have you got him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your own personal Savior? See what's at stake here? You have everlasting life. You shall not come into judgment, the judgment of hell and the lake of fire. You'll never see that. You'll never see it because you have Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. You have everlasting life. You shall not come into condemnation. No judgment. There's a great white throne seen in Revelation chapter 20. You'll never be there. I'll never be there because I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the text of the Bible says, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the speaker here, and he says, truly, truly, never told a lie in his life. And here he said it, if you believe in me, you'll have everlasting life. You won't come into condemnation or judgment, but you've passed from death into life. And the old preachers used to say, the fire and the torment my eyes shall never see. Why? Because I've received Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. And you know, friend, it's not a difficult thing to do. It's not a difficult thing to do. John Rollo just sat me down and read me that verse and pointed it out phrase by phrase And I grasped it. I'm sure that this the Holy Spirit taught me the light, that what I was getting, and I was assured of my salvation, as sure as I'm standing here today, so many years ago. And so it's not something complicated, very simple. And the Lord wants you to come. The Lord wants you to come and trust him for salvation today. I could go on and tell you my experience as well about being baptized, but I'll do that for another time. How I was baptized and how I was added to a local church and how I continued steadfastly. That'll be chapter 2. But that's as far as we'll go today. But for a couple of minutes or so, John 3 and 16 was the verse that I was going to speak on. But the Lord said, tell them something about your testimony in relation to the gospel. And this is the most basic thing we can do. As far as preaching the gospel, you know, but what we do sometimes, we 11 o'clock, we try to teach the believers, and there's people who have never known the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's not impossible for you to get saved, but it's very difficult if you're not hearing the gospel. I don't know how you would get that, but. And so John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's so similar to John 5 and 24. It's the same message. And a big mistake that could be made is when we think that people now are too sophisticated to hear the gospel. And that's a lie of the devil. It's a lie of the devil. The most important message that you will ever hear is the message of the gospel in John 5 and 24 or John 3 and 16. And so that there's great things in John 3 and 16. I don't know if I should just close the meeting now or speaking some of these things, but again, I'll just run through them, and then we'll close. And if you're at all convicted that you've never been saved, talk to me after the meeting, and I'll be able to sit down with you, just like the old principal of the school did with me many years ago. I'd show you the way, and I would pray that the Lord would give you his salvation today, while it's still time. And while there's still opportunity. And you know, I'll just put it this way, that there's seven great things in this text, and I'll just go through them very, very simply. Seven great things in the text. For God, that's a great God, so loved the world. God so loved the world. That's a great love. That's a great love. That he gave his only begotten Son. He gave the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great gift. A great gift. He loves the world. He's a great God. He loves the world. He gave his only begotten Son, the darling of his bosom, the one that he delighted to be with from the countless ages of eternity. The Father gave the Son. Why did he give the Son? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world. Why did Jesus Christ come into the world? He came into the way, amen. He came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. And so it was a great love. He gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever, that's a great company, whosoever, there's 6 or 7 billion people in the world, that's a great company, whosoever believes in him, whosoever believes in him is a great condition. It's a simple condition. It's all the things that we've been speaking about. You put your faith and trust in him. And what's the result? Should not perish. It's a great deliverance. Imagine that. You're sitting here today and you've got the opportunity of being saved and finding salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the only condition that he's asked you to do is to come. To come in simple faith and trust him as your own personal Savior. A great condition. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. That's a great deliverance. A great deliverance. Should not perish. And so if you don't believe in him, you will perish. You'll perish after this life is over. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a great reward, if I could call it that. And now, that's all I really have to say. But you know where you stand in relation to these things. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Savior? Have you done that? Truly and simply accepted him in the text, in the truth of the text of chapter 3 and 16 and chapter 5 and 24. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? For God so loved the world, amazing, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're not sure about these things today, talk to me after the meeting, and I'll explain simply what's here, and I'll pray for you as well, that you might find the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's any doubt in your mind about these things, or if there's a lack of assurance, we can pray about that as well. So may the Lord bless his word to us for his own name's sake, shall we pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the message today, presented in weakness and simplicity. But Father, I can only tell what I know, and I know I received it. And I know it's open for anybody in the world, whosoever. It's open for anyone. And they can receive it simply as well. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. So bless the word then, Father, to us today, as we give thanks now in the Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen. Amen.